Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard along with Trevor Sikkema, your host for a Fan Friday edition of the Locked On NFL Draft. Trevor, we have a couple questions. We got a couple requests to talk about certain things. But more than anything, I don't know that we can really start this podcast without giving praise to the GOAT last night. And the performance of Jared Goff.
Good Lord.
Obviously QB1, right? I mean, making Dak and Wentz look bad this year, isn't he?
Oh, my gosh. No, hey, man, like, I am totally fine with admitting my takes. And I thought Goff was just absolutely terrible last year. And the problem with him, I didn't think he was terrible coming out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't his biggest fan.
Right.
But I really did think that last year, you know, terrible offensive line, terrible system, pretty dysfunctional franchise for the most part. I didn't really see at no point did I really see a mental fortitude with Jared Goff. And so I thought, man, that first year.
Yeah.
I thought that first year was going to ruin him, you know, right, with Jeff Fisher and everything and blah, blah, blah. And so, I mean, shout out to Sean McVay for the job that he's done, certainly right off the bat. But yeah. I saw you tweeting this before, and you know, we can't give all the praise to Sean McVay. You know, he may be coming up with the offense, but he's not making the throws. Goff's making the throws.
Right.
So, you know, that's him. And how, dude, that's the most fun I've had watching a Thursday night football
right?
game, maybe ever. Maybe
who would
ever.
Have thought? Who would have thought that it would have been Rams 49ers? No, it's the 49ers, and Goff still has a ways to go, and he's by no means a finished product or anything, or, you know, one of the top 10 quarterbacks or anything crazy like that. But, yeah, it is encouraging, and you want to see a guy take those kind of steps. And I think sometimes we get to the point where, not you, but, like, other people, they root for the failure almost to see a number one pick so they can rip on a team, you know what I mean? And yeah. I get that, you know, it's definitely fun taking shots at bad organizations, no question, but it's just cool to see him start to succeed and
absolutely, you
know, start to see what he can do with a good offense. And also Todd Gurley, he looks back, man. I watched him last week too, and I thought he looked really good. There's still not a lot of space to run in, and I think the Rams rushing attack is just starting to kind of take off a little bit, but just catching the football and elusiveness and strength after the catch and things of that
looks
nature.
Looks a lot more confident, for sure.
Yeah.
I do wonder how different his night is if Reuben Foster plays, you know. But
right,
that's kind of my only thing there. Other than that, you know, Todd Gurley did fantastic. I just wonder if Reuben Foster plays, does Gurley have nearly the same stats that he does? Not that he would have had a bad game, but...
I thought the Rams offensive line gave Goff all day, too.
Yeah, I mean,
I was surprised by
that. It's the problem with the 49ers, right? They got a bunch of...
They don't have any pass rushers.
Like, they have a bunch of players who you go, yeah, he's nice. Yeah, like, Armstead is nice. Buckner is nice. Solomon Thomas is nice. But, like, where do you play all those guys? Like,
right.
What is your scheme? Like, what is your plan of attack here? It's like you just drafted a bunch of guys and went, all right, like, make something happen. It's very much a makeshift defensive line, which has talent, but like the way that you use the certain talent doesn't make any sense. So,
there's still a lot of growth for both of these teams still
to
undergo.
Change quick, like some of those guys are going to get out of there or something.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. Okay, so are we picking games first, or are we answering a couple questions, tackling a couple topics first? What do you think?
Let's pick the games now that we're on the game train here. So, all right, this is something we've been doing, you know, starting last Friday is, I think, the first Friday that we did this. We headed over to mybookie.ag, take a look at the lines of each NFL game. John and I will tell you how these things go. Now, granted, we are not experts, even though I am a doctor. Not a betting expert.
An expert in some things, but just
these are just our amateur / at the same time professional opinions. Take with it what you will. So the first game, Baltimore Ravens versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think this game's in London. Yes, it is. It is in London.
The Ravens are favored?
Yes, Ravens are favored by 3.5. What say ye? What say ye?
Yeah, I'm going with the Ravens on this one. I don't trust the Jaguars at all. I don't think the Ravens are good, but I don't know. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win by 6 points.
Go Jags. Give me the points. I'm picking the Jags.
Oh, okay.
Picking the Jags. All right. And then I think the reason why I'm picking the Jags is because I'm pretty sure the Ravens has just flat out dominated their first two teams that they played, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't think the Ravens were that alluring coming into the season. And so at some point it's got to turn around. Maybe it turns around here. If they destroy the Jags, then maybe I got to rethink my thoughts on the Baltimore
Here's
Ravens.
The thing. I think the Ravens started 3-0 last year, and it was the same deal. They played three bad teams start the year. They started 3-0, and then things went downhill from there, and they obviously didn't make the playoffs. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it could be an indication of them being better, you know. But the thing is, the Ravens are, like, not going to lose to, like, the worst teams. And last year they didn't play a ton of – I mean, they didn't have a hard schedule at all, and they still missed the playoffs. But I'm looking right now, but I'm pretty sure they won their first three games last year. And then – yeah, they beat Buffalo week one. Mm-hmm. They beat Cleveland week two, same as this year. And they beat Jacksonville week three.
Wow. Last year.
Yeah, 19-17. So,
well, Jacksonville revenge game. I'm taking the points.
And then they lost their next seven games. So, yeah, we'll see.
All right, in the most riveting matchup of the week, your Cleveland Browns.
I never understand when they're mine. Like, it doesn't
versus
make sense to me.
My Indianapolis Colts.
That doesn't make sense either. I hate both of these teams.
The Colts. The Colts are the Browns are favored by 1.5.
Holy! How bad have things gotten in Indy?
Yeah.
What a disaster!
The Browns are the road team, and they're favored.
Oh, man. What are they favored by?
1.5.
1.5? Ugh. Colts are going to win.
If Jacoby Brissett's playing, yes. Agreed.
Jacoby Brissett's playing, man. He's the
freaking
best quarterback there.
Colts win. I'm with you. We're both taking the Colts and the points.
Yes.
Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Chicago Bears. Pittsburgh is favored by a touchdown and a half, 7.5 points. A lot of points.
Steelers play pretty poor football against bad teams on the road typically, but I just struggle to see where Chicago really gets going against this. I mean, the Steelers don't have a ton of where Chicago's strong or could be strong on running the ball. They haven't been good, and Pittsburgh's been really good in run defense, so I don't know. It's hard for me to see the Steelers having a hard time with this one, but they've surprised me before with their play against subpar teams. So I'm still taking that. I think the Steelers are going to win by double digits.
Okay. I'm with you. I think the Steelers win the game, but 7.5 points is a lot of points for me for a road team, for a team that historically does not play well on the road. So I'm going to take Chicago and the points there, even though I think the Steelers are probably still winning the game. Miami at your New York Jets. Miami is
favored. Why do you always give your to the worst teams in the league?
Dude,
like, if there was a team that would not be mine, it would be the Jets.
I'm not making this up. You know, it's your Jets, man.
That's how it's written on the lines.
Yeah, no, it literally says
MyBookie.ag. Bringing the heat. MyBookie's really bringing the heat. What are the Dolphins favored by?
6 points.
Take it. Yep, they're winning. They're winning by like 15. Jets are horrible.
It's so difficult for me to not pick like every team against the Jets. Yeah, Miami. Just give me Miami. I can't do it. I can't do it with the Jets. I just can't do it. Denver at Buffalo. Denver is favored by 3 points. So Buffalo's getting 3 at home. Trevor Siemian coming off his Heisman moment game.
Yeah, Denver's gonna win by at least 6.
Okay, I think I'm with you there. I think I'm with you on that one. I think Denver's gonna win the game. by more than a field goal. So
I have no faith in the Bills.
No, and that defense is too good. Even if Trevor Siemian cools down, a week off of his greatest performance ever. Houston Texans at the New England Patriots. The Patriots are favored because they're at home by 14.
You.
Two touchdowns.
Mm.
You're giving QB1 two touchdowns?
No, I think this one, I'm taking the Texans on this one. I think Patriots will win, but I think it'll be tight.
I'm with you. I don't know how tight it's going to be, but it's going to be tighter than 14 points.
Texans D is tough.
14 points, a lot of points, man. That's a lot of points. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take the Texans and the points there. New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers, NFC South divisional game. The Panthers, the home team, favored by 5.5.
Panthers and who?
The New Orleans Saints.
Saints are winning. Saints are winning it. Yeah.
You think they win outright?
Yep.
Or you think they win with the points?
No, I think they win outright. Panthers defense has given up like 6 points this season. That's not going to continue. That's a good unit, but it's not that good. They've played terrible offenses. Saints have the right recipe. And I don't think Cam Newton's been on track at all. I'm not sure. I mean, this is a good matchup for the Saints, I think.
You know what? I think I'm with you.
Are you praying about it?
No, yeah. I had to
lift it up real quick.
The Lord about it, and he told me that the Saints are going
to win. Who would have thought the Lord would have opinions on the MyBookie lines?
You know, ask and you shall receive. Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing at the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings, the home team, favored by 2 points. Case Keenum, Sam Bradford up in the air. Obviously, this game, long time for it to come out because they didn't know what was going to happen. If you ask me, and if you had asked me all week, I would tell you that there is no way that Sam Bradford is playing because if it's a bone bruise, and do bone bruises hurt? Like, even if you could go, like, even if the doctor went, yeah, I mean, he could play if he's comfortable. Sam Bradford's not exactly the toughest guy in the world, so I can't exactly see him playing through a bone bruise. And even if he does, he's not going to want to move around in the pocket. So, like, that's never good as an offense that you want your quarterback to be in cement the whole time. So I think Keenum's going to play. Like, so I don't know. I would approach this game as if Case Keenum is their quarterback.
Yeah, he's limited in practice for Bradford. That's what he was last week, too, I think. Yeah, I think the Bucs are going to win. I don't know. I still don't trust the Bucs completely, even though I know they were dubbed Super Bowl favorites after they whooped up on the Bears. But I just don't think the Vikings have enough offense without Sam Bradford. Man, I didn't think I'd ever say that.
I picked the Vikings to beat the Bucs before the season, but
that you were you're pretty much on that Bucs bandwagon after week one, aren't you?
I think the Bucs are going to beat the Vikings. I think it's going to be a very close game, no matter who plays quarterback, because I do respect the Vikings defense a lot, and the Vikings defense is a lot different than the Bears defense. So I think it's going to be interesting there, but I think the Bucs are going to pull it out. I think the Bucs are going to ride their momentum in, and as long as James can get things going early, I think they at least overcome that that you're giving them 2 points kind of a thing. Mm. So, next 1 o'clock game, Atlanta Falcons at the Detroit Lions. Falcons on the road, favored by 3.
Falcons, yeah.
Matt Stafford versus Matt Ryan, where Stafford's the one at home is just, and the Falcons are getting 3. It's just the perfect Vegas, like, FU scenario. Like, I just don't know what to do here.
I think Atlanta's going to win by a touchdown.
Okay. Okay, so you're taking Atlanta.
I just can't believe Detroit's defense has played as well as they've played, and I can't see them keeping it up. I just don't think they're that good. But
I'm going to take Detroit. I'm going to take Detroit in 3 points.
Okay.
Right. In a heavy offensive game, I'm gonna take the team that gets the points, especially if they're the team at home that gets the points. So
Darius Slay's played awesome this year, by the way.
So yeah,
Julio Jones is gonna have a tough matchup.
Final 1 o'clock game: New York Giants at Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are favored by 6.
Yeah. The Eagles, six? That's too much.
Six.
The Eagles are going to win, but it's going to be closer than that.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. 6 points, too much for a division game.
Yeah.
Too much.
And Giants D is still pretty. I mean, I think Janoris Jenkins, I think he's going to be back anyway. Yeah.
I think it's Seattle Seahawks at the Tennessee Titans. Seahawks by 2.5.
Seattle Seahawks and Tennessee Titans.
Oh, no, sorry. The Tennessee Titans are favored. My bad.
Titans are favored.
Titans are favored. They're at home by 2.5.
Yeah. Give me Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
Very tempted to agree with you because Seattle is basically like a giant game of roulette every week.
They're not good, man. Like,
It's the same thing about like picking Doug Baldwin in fantasy. Like, he'll get you 3 points 1 week. He'll get you 46 the next week. And you just go, hey, man, somewhere in between, maybe a little bit more consistency. We'd love it. That's basically the Seattle Seahawks. So I'll go with you. I'll pick the Titans, even though they're giving up the points.
Yeah.
Kansas City at the Los Angeles Chargers, who are playing in that that high school stadium over there.
Oh, with the high school attendance?
The Chargers. No, the Chiefs are – sorry, the Chiefs are favored. They're the road team. They're favored. Chargers are getting 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Rivers,
it's going to be a very close game. Chiefs are going to win by 1 point. That's what I think.
So you're taking the Chargers with the points.
I am.
All right. I respect it. I actually like it. You know what? You've sold me. I agree.
I made a very long and convincing diatribe argument there.
Give me that Philip Rivers shot put arm motion.
Listen, the Chargers are in like a one score game every week, and this one's going to be by a point or two. Yes. So,
Cincinnati Bengals at the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is favored by 9. 9's a lot of points.
9 is a lot. But the Bengals are freaking horrible.
I'm taking the Bengals. I'll answer first there.
You give me nine points,
I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, I agree. There's no way the Bengals offense stays this bad, right? Even with a terrible offensive line.
If they do, I'm about to drop every...
They haven't scored, dude. They haven't scored a freaking touchdown. I'm about to enter week three.
It's not great. Even the Bucks
have scored a touchdown. Yeah.
Raiders at Washington. Raiders favored by 3. Here's a fun fact. If the Raiders don't score at least 35 points, then the Rams remain the number one offense in the NFL.
Wow. That is that's a very fun fact.
Yeah.
Hope
you had as much fun hearing it as I did saying it.
Well, I had a great time. Music to my ears. I think Washington's going to win. My upset for the week.
All right.
I don't really have a good reason, so.
Yeah, I think you're dead wrong. I'm taking the Raiders. That's the Sunday night game there, and then the Monday night game, final game of the week, Dallas Cowboys. Favored by 3 on the road against the Arizona Cardinals.
Cowboys are winning it.
I don't think
the Cardinals are very good. Cowboys are winning it by probably 4 or 5 points.
I think they're winning it by more than 3.
They're going to win it just over 3, I think.
Between 3 and 10 is what I'm saying.
Jeez. Is that the last game?
Yes.
All right, here we go. We had fan requests from someone after yesterday's podcast, which, by the way, I think people enjoyed. If you haven't checked it out, Trevor and I took a bunch of prominent colleges, and we took the NFL players on that far from those colleges, and we put them back on their college teams. We grouped them all together, and we talked about who would be the best in certain situations. We didn't get to Florida State or Wisconsin, so we had requests from people to talk about Florida State and Wisconsin's teams and what they would look like. So are you ready for Florida State?
No.
Okay, well, here's what it is. A lot better than Florida, by the way, if you were wondering. Jameis?
I know that. Or
E.J. Manuel, a quarterback.
Christian Ponder, really.
Yeah, could call Ponder back up. running back, Dalvin Cook.
Devonta Freeman.
And Devonta Freeman. That's a pretty decent freaking group right there. Chris Thompson's also in the mix.
Yeah.
Calvin Benjamin, a wideout. They really didn't have that many great wideouts in the NFL. Nick O'Leary, tight end. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Jesus. Nick O'Leary.
Stop. Please.
Nick O'Leary is Jack Nicklaus's grandson. Did you know that?
Wow. Like, wow. I never, wow.
For people who don't know, that was talked about constantly in the draft.
Like, every time he caught the ball, it was just like, did you know?
Yep. It's like Jimmy Graham playing basketball at this point. Listen to how bad this offensive line would be.
Antonio Gates went up for that one like a rebound. Did you see him use his like his lower body there like a basket? Shut up, Chris.
Basically boxed out at the catch point.
We know.
All right, bud. Here's the offensive line from Florida State. Cameron Irving, Bobby Hart, Roderick Johnson, and Menelik Watson. Those are like four of the worst offensive linemen in the NFL.
All right, so Florida's got a chance.
But Rodney Hudson's in the midst there, and he's one of the best centers in the league. So they get a little reprieve there. But holy crap, dude, they've had some horrible offensive line. We didn't even mention Trey Jackson, who's been pretty bad for New England. Is he even on New England? He might have got caught. I can't remember. Who else did we not mention? That's they do have a couple long snappers in the NFL, so they deserve
their defense is gross, though.
Defense is pretty good, yeah. Defensive line. Mario Edwards, Eddie Goldman, Timmy Jernigan, DeMarcus Walker, who I'm not a fan of, but the other three, yes.
Yeah.
Linebacker Telvin Smith, Lawrence Timmons, Vince Williams. They don't really have a lot of edge pass rushers in the NFL. Dakota Watson was one. I think he's still in the league for the 49ers. But DBs, again, we got another DBU candidate here, I think, man. Ronald Darby, LaMarcus Joyner, who is grossly underrated. He's been good for years in the, with the Rams, and he hasn't gotten the attention he deserves. Mm-hmm. Xavier Rhodes, Jalen Ramsey. Patrick Robinson's pretty bad, but he's had his moments. And P.J. Williams, not great either. But still, I mean, you're talking about Ramsey and Rhodes are both probably top 10 corners in the league, right? And Joyner's a really good player. Darby's a really good player. That's a really good secondary group. They don't have any safeties, though. I mean, Joyner's technically a safety now, but do you believe that, though? Florida State doesn't have any safeties in the NFL unless you count Terrence Brooks. Is he still on the Jets? Not sure if he is. I'm surprised.
Does Joyner not play safety?
Joyner did. He just got moved back to safety this past year.
Okay.
He was like a nickel corner, but he still plays a lot of the slot.
Well, Derwin's going to be there next year, so it's fine.
What's that?
Derwin's going to be there next year, so it's fine.
Yeah, it just doesn't bode well for Derwin, I think, maybe. There's no safeties in the NFL. I just think, maybe he's just not going to cut it. Wisconsin.
That's an Alabama players don't make it in the NFL argument right there.
Well, we saw yesterday that there's some concerns. Wisconsin offensive line is like completely opposite. Travis Frederick at center, Joe Thomas at left tackle, Ricky
elite.
Wagner is a pretty good right tackle. Ryan Ramczyk is the first rounder this past year, I think will be a good player. Kevin Zietler has been one of the more underrated guards in the league for years. Rob Havenstein, the right tackle for the Rams, who played pretty well last night, I think. At least I didn't notice him playing poorly. So their offensive line loaded. Other than that, though, I mean, Melvin Gordon and James White's a pretty good backfield. Russell Wilson or Scott Tolzien going to be a tough competition there. I'm not sure who's going to emerge as the starter. This is going to shock people, but Wisconsin, I don't think they have a single wide receiver in the league. Is Jared Aberdare still in the league somewhere? I'm not sure if he is. He's on this list, but
I think he is.
Is he somewhere? It says he's with Detroit. I don't know. Maybe he is. Alex Erickson. Oh, yeah, is another one. The Bengals return guy. I don't know if how much he plays wide out. And, of course, Tanner McAvoy also trotting
around. Of course.
Dropping passes left and right last couple weeks with Seattle. So
I don't know who that is.
Converted quarterback. He was a quarterback. And he was a safety, too, I think, and all kinds of stuff at Seattle. Wisconsin. Lance Kendricks is out here, too. He's a little tight end. So defensive side of the ball, there's not a lot of players, believe it or not, from Wisconsin in the NFL on defense. But the ones who are pretty solid. Vince Beagles. Still hanging around. Jonathan Casillas, the linebacker for the Giants. TJ and JJ Watt, not bad there. Joe Schobert has played decently for the Browns. And Bo Allen on the defensive line. So there's your Wisconsin and your Florida State breakdowns. We also got two other questions. Who are some small school, undersized Tariq Cohen-style running backs to look out for this year? Always so fun to watch their film. That's a good question. I feel like we didn't know about Tariq Cohen until like 2 months before last year's draft happened. Didn't it feel that way?
Yeah. I was very late on the Tariq Cohen. Somebody else had to point him out to me. I didn't get to see him myself, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Lance Zierlein was really high on him, by the way, Tariq Cohen. Let me pull up my watch list here so I can think of.
I don't know any small school guys right now.
Small school. I know some small school guys, but not small school. Small guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
That's what we're looking for here. The tiny guys. Ito Smith. I don't know if he's that small, but Ito Smith from Southern Mississippi. He's a guy to look out for. I think he very explosive player, and has some highlight reel runs that will make your jaw drop. But consistency and vision between the tackles, which was an issue with Cohen, actually, I thought coming out was really inconsistent with Ito Smith. So he's one to watch moving forward. But I think he could be a guy that I haven't seen any of them this year. But if he could just curb it a little bit, you know, and just the desire to bounce everything and, you know, just constantly be trying to juke guys out of their socks, I feel like he could be a better player moving forward, which it seemed like, well, the Bears have used Cohen well too, you know, get him outside on runs and let that be his forte. And right. I think trying to make him an every carry, you know, every down back would probably not have the same success, but you got to use those guys the right way. Thursday Night Football. How much of that was the Rams offense and how much of it was the Niners defense sitting on 100 hours of rest? Was it 100 hours exactly?
It sounds like, you know, it's 3 days basically. So,
yeah, three and a half, three, yeah, yeah.
I mean, just to that point, I'll just say that it's pretty dang ridiculous that the NFL talks about player safety and then goes, hey, play this game on 3 days rest.
Yeah.
I think that's part of what creates the Thursday Night Football. This is a terrible product thing, but the NFL makes way too much money putting extra.
And football we keep watching game. It, so.
Well, I mean, the NFL puts way too much, or they make way too much money off of opportunities where there's not football to play football, and that's why I think we'll start to see games not being played on Sundays too. Like I could imagine in the future, like some of these London games or overseas games that they play, they'll be like, oh, we're gonna play the London game on Saturday or something like that, and it's like, oh, the London game, everybody tune in on this Saturday. It's the NFL and all this. And I know that at that point they would have to compete with college football and all that stuff, so it wouldn't be as great. But the NFL does stuff like that all the time, which is kind of ridiculous.
Agreed. But
the main question, was the Rams offense good or the 49ers bad? I mean, a little bit of both, but I'm not saying that is a cop-out to, like, don't praise the Rams offense. Like, this is three games in now. And, yeah, they're beating the bad teams, but – they're scoring 40 on the bad teams. That's what you're supposed to do. You beat the bad teams. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're doing what they're doing what they should do. They look great. And Robert Woods, my boy.
Is that your dude? When did that happen? You claim different guys as your boy like every day. I'm like, wait, Robert Woods?
Robert Woods was my wide receiver one.
No way. Yep. Who was in that class?
New Hopkins. So, like, I was wrong. Don't get me wrong.
Well, Robert Woods is a decent player, though.
Robert Woods was my wide receiver one in the 2012 or 2013 class.
And New Hopkins is pretty overrated, but. Are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm still here. Hold on. Let me look. Robert Woods. Let me look at who else is in that class. But yes, I do remember he was.
I thought you were salty about my slight jab at DeAndre Hopkins.
No, I mean he is he's kind of overrated.
Yeah,
because people thought that he was like better than, you know, like Mike Evans.
People thought he was like a top five wideout and
right
pump the brakes there. Yeah. He's not better super than Jordan.
Talented, but you know.
Yeah, he's a good player.
So it was the 2013 draft, which was the most god awful draft of all time.
Oh, it was that draft? Okay, that's what I was thinking. It was that draft. I couldn't remember.
We got Tavon Austin, DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Hunter, Robert Woods. Aaron Dobson. These are in order of when they were picked, by the way. Goodness. Terrence Williams, Marquise Goodwin, Marcus Wheaton.
Oh my word.
Jordan Reed was picked after all of those guys.
Jeez. Marcus Wheaton's like the best of all those dudes.
Stedman Bailey, Josh Boyce.
My word.
Chris Harper. Don't know who that is.
Chris Harper.
Quentin Patton. Hey, there we go.
Chris Harper's still floating around somewhere on special teams, I think.
Kenny Stills, fifth round. There he is.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a steal.
Kenny Stills. Corey Fuller. Justin Brown. Alan Bonner.
Justin Brown.
Kobe Hamilton.
Kobe.
Old Bryce Steeler. Butler, Charles Johnson. Wait, Charles Johnson, really?
Bryce Butler's like probably one of the best players on that list, and he's been on like he's floated around and had to cling to a roster spot.
So yeah, I think my
yeah, you're that's fine. I have no issues Robert with your Woods, Robert Woods.
Woods is my wide receiver one that year.
Given that group, yeah.
But I think Tyler Wilson was also my QB one that year. So.
Oh, Tyler Wilson. Yeah, that was close. So yeah, I think that's it. We didn't have any other questions. We tackled pretty much everything that was thrown our way, with grace as we always do. And we're ready for a fun weekend of football, and you got your betting lines and you got everything. What more could you want from us? Go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code locked on, all kinds of good stuff from MyBookie. So make sure you check that out. As always, thank you guys. Oh, and don't forget about the Pro Football Focus promotion as well. If you want to get a Pro Football Focus Edge account, you enter a chance to win by going to Locked On NFL Draft. Or Locked On Steelers or any of the Locked On podcasts and leaving a review for the podcast and include your Twitter handle and you'll be entered in a chance to win. We're picking one per show per week. So you'll be entered in a chance to win the PFF Edge subscription. It's a $40 value, has all kinds of cool stats, draft information, fantasy stuff, player grades, all kinds of awesome stuff. So yeah, make sure you go over to iTunes, tell the world what you think of Dr. Sycamore and I, and include your Twitter handle as well. So until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.